The Bob Siegel Show on KCBQ is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Advertising Corporation and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Reoccurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found in his Washington Times column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for The Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you meet Christians whose behavior seems no different from non-Christians, other than the fact that they're always preaching at you and being just as obnoxious as possible. Well, that happens, unfortunately. All ideologies get misrepresented. It's something people fail to remember. Let me say it again. All ideologies get misrepresented. Christianity is no exception, but yes, it's sadder. It's sadder because the loving and forgiving words of Jesus are being distorted. But the good news is that many Christians do take their faith and their relationship with God quite seriously, and they do make a difference in the world. Welcome to our sanctuary, a sanctuary for skeptics and doubters. Your views will be respected on this program, even in the unlikely event that I disagree and present a viewpoint of my own. It's happened from time to time. It is good to be back for our first live show of 2011. We aired a couple of repeats over the holidays, and today marks the beginning of our 7th year on the radio. Season 7 of the Bob Siegel Show. As with previous seasons, I will not always be hosting the program by myself. I do have a group of rotating co-hosts, including my good friend Greg Jarvis, who joins us regularly on the phone from Missouri. Greg, welcome to our program.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for having me. How are you doing this brand new year?
I'm doing well, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you very much.
I guess before we get into it, I didn't want this to be a news program, but it's kind of hard to ignore the big news in Arizona. Have you been following that out there?
I have. It's kind of hard not to.
Yeah.
It's everywhere, and it's such an unfortunate occurrence, no matter what someone believes, and a real tragedy.
Well, and unfortunately, when some nutcase goes out with a gun and several people were killed, including a judge, and seriously wounded in the head, Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, but, you know, people try to politicize it. Geraldo Rivera last night on Fox News was trying to say that Sarah Palin was partly responsible, even if this guy never heard of Sarah Palin. And Obama gave a speech about how we need to tone down the rhetoric, as if people that go out with guns aren't responsible for their own actions, and as if Obama cared about people toning down the rhetoric when one of his congressmen got up and said that no Republican believes in health care and they want you all to die. I mean, you know, but that wasn't bad rhetoric at all. So it makes your head spin. It's a horrible tragedy. I don't know how they're going to politicize this guy, though. They're trying, since it was a Democratic woman that got shot, they're trying to politicize it by saying that maybe this guy responded to some right-wing message, and yet they found a copy of the Communist Manifesto on him. That's not very right-wing. So anyway, our hearts do go out to the families.
Absolutely. And real quick, I was thinking of you as I was listening to the news, and I was just waiting to see if something else or someone else is brought to light for blame because of the discussion of speech that you've had on your show over the past and how you know, we're losing part of that freedom to speak freely about whatever the issue, and if someone might get blamed for inciting this young man because of something he heard at a meeting or in church or in a Sunday school class, or, you know, if someone's going to put some sort of spin like that on it.
Well, I actually heard Geraldo Rivera connecting the dots back to Palin. I mean, he said it in such a way where it's kind of like, I'm not saying Sarah Palin's directly responsible, but it absolutely made me sick. I remember a couple of years ago, over at the Mall of America, somebody went and shot up the mall, killed some people. I was listening to the Dennis Prager show a few days later, and some person called in and was saying, well, if it weren't for the policies of George Bush, people wouldn't be tempted to do that. Prager gave the perfect response. He said, we have to go to a break. I want you to stay there. And then when we come back, I want to find out where you went to grad school. Because he was of the opinion that you couldn't come up with an opinion like that without going to graduate school and learning it there.
Well, that's true. I don't know too many people that have original, even myself, original thoughts, original opinions. I mean, we certainly can spin them a little bit differently when we learn them, but we usually get information from other people, other experiences, and whatnot. The key is to take that information and to really scrutinize it as to whether it's worthwhile, of value, or just what, or half-cocked, like Geraldo sounds like he was.
Yeah, Geraldo, just stick with the Florida Hurricanes. That's what you're supposed
to say. And the safes, you know, things that you open.
We're going to open up Al Capone's vault. I liked it when Geraldo got Yasser Arafat to say that he believes in peace. I don't think Geraldo realized that Arafat had said that 50 times while planning terrorist attacks. He looked like quite the hero. Will you say on national television in front of the world that you want peace? I'm going, oh, Geraldo. We can sleep tonight. Peace in the Middle East. Anyway, people will politicize that. Next week when we do more of a news show, I'll try to come back and unpoliticize it. But here's a novel idea. Maybe, just maybe, the guy that did the shooting is the guy responsible for the shooting. I don't know. Just a thought.
Wow. Too simple, Bob. I'm not sure. We're probably going
to
learn more.
And I went to graduate school. I don't know how I could be that simplistic. Maybe graduate school must have changed.
Well, you're breaking that mold.
Yeah. Anyway, on to more positive things. But once again, our hearts do go out to the families of this horrible event. So what's been on your radar? What's been on your mind?
Well, I mean, it's a brand new year. So, hey, we're setting goals. We're looking forward to a great year.
Now, do you tend to make New Year's resolutions? Or do you tend to just make resolutions when you need to make them?
Oh, I make them any old time, but I wouldn't call them resolutions because that means you're resolved and you tend to see them through, and doggone it, I have made one this year.
Well, so you're saying you make them kind of like the UN resolutions? Yours are kind of like those?
Flexible?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're flexible depending on my situation. Right. But I have made at least a few hundred of them that I think I'm going to be able to keep.
And, a few hundred that you're going to be able to keep?
Yep, it'll take me just 2 minutes to share those with you.
Yeah, we're all waiting with bated breath here.
I'm really happy because I see nothing but success, and if I'm not successful, I won't know it. So, I mean, that's a win-win in my book.
Boy, so, you kind of lost me on that one.
Well, let me tell you what it is.
This needs a little explaining. See, and I did go to grad school, and I still need the explanation.
I've made a resolution this year to make it through each day. So I am 8 days in.
Oh, and so far you've made it. Well, Greg, good show. You're doing quite well for yourself.
I feel great. I feel great.
I feel like we ought to hand out a little prize or something.
Well, hopefully it's...
How about a coupon for a free Slurpee at 7-Eleven?
We'll make it two, and you got a deal. So I figured those are ones I can
so
keep.
It's the old let's balance our expectations thing. Let's do something realistic. Just get through the day.
Yeah, and sometimes...
Well, you know, sometimes the kind of days we have, that's no small feat getting through the day, I must admit.
No, it's not. But I figure those are the ones that I could keep, and if I don't, then I won't know it. So other than that...
Well, you'll know it. Don't you believe you're going to be conscious in eternity?
Well, I did go to grad school.
Don't you think Jesus will tell you when you get to heaven that you didn't make it through the day?
No,
you're
going to
figure out something's going on when you see those pearly gates.
Touché. Yeah, white light, pearly gates, and him saying, hey, here's another day. The last day. I hope so. That's my hope. That's my faith. That's where I hope I'm headed. And things are pointing in that direction, although I question that sometimes in my own life. Not seriously, but I do question if that's my final destination. I look at my life as it is, and I want to create more resolutions.
So you're not questioning whether it's true. You're questioning whether or not you are living up to it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And when I don't live up to it, then I'm thinking, come on, what's the deal? You're there? Are you there?
Of course. I'm sure all of us have those kinds of doubts and questions. The poor guy that led me to Christ, every week I'd come back and, gee, Roger, I'm not sure I'm really saved. I don't think I made the sinner's prayer right. I don't think I repented. I drove the poor guy nuts. And Martin Luther used to drive his monastic superior nuts. That's how he got the Protestant Reformation. So I guess some good does come out of that.
A little bit. A little bit of nuts, a little bit of crazy, and a whole lot of self inspection, introspection. And that's kind of what we need to look at. And that's one of the things that I hope to do more of this year. I don't want to, anything I say, I don't want it to sound like, oh, he's really going to do it. And he's, I fail at this stuff miserably, set out to do things, even sometimes the simplest of things. And it gets frustrating. But I do hope this year to set out and be a little more introspective, a little more taking an honest look at myself, not these, I looked at some of the other resolutions that are out there, and there's some consistent ones on every list, and they must have questioned and queried nothing but smokers, because it looks like quit smoking is on every list, and that's one I haven't put on my list.
Well, you're not a smoker, are you?
No, but, it's
well, then that would be as
list.
Easy to keep as getting through the day. Why don't you put that one on your list? That should be a no-brainer for you.
Well, maybe I could put not start smoking.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. Or some other habit that you have no intention or temptation to get into.
That's true. Those are positive.
How about a commitment to fast every single day between lunch and dinner?
Hey, wait a minute, Bob. Let me get this down. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Nothing but success. But no, I do. I want to, not overly introspective, but, Scripture talks about examining oneself and that we're the only ones that can do it. Everyone else wants to do it for us.
Yes, and they can be quite the nuisance while they're doing it for us.
Absolutely. And a little misguided at times or because it's their perception, but it's good to listen to that perception because it may shed light.
No, it's not. It's not always so good to listen to that. I when I want advice, I ask for it. Usually those that give unsolicited advice, I think, are giving the wrong advice. I think the same arrogance that makes them think it's their business also deludes them as to the facts of what's really going on. But hey, that's just my theory.
Yeah.
And Christian, the way Christians always preface it, can I say something to you in love? I finally came up with the perfect response to that. No, actually, you can't. If that's the way you want to phrase it, it's obviously something I'm not going to want to hear. So no, thank you.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. If they have to ask, but if they're not asking, then they're probably close enough to you to share.
Well,
that.
When we get back from the great Greg, I will ask you something in love. Not real.
I gotta go, Bob.
Okay. Greg Jarvis joining me from Missouri. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Bob Siegel Show.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
Welcome back to our program. I'm joined with Greg Jarvis. We've been talking about New Year's resolutions. What else has been on your radar, Greg?
Well, in general, speaking about the resolutions and mentioning that I want to be more introspective, and along with those 365 resolutions that I've already
you're doing just a crackerjack job on those, I must say.
there's another one that I find really difficult, and it's a daily resolution, and that is to again, what I was mentioning earlier, is reflect more on my myself, my I guess my motivations, if you will, how honest I'm being, because you know me, I'll usually say what's on my mind, and people like that tend to come across candidly, honestly, open. And yet, because I'm married and have two children, I am made aware by other people that I'm not always on the level. That's the beauty of living with someone else.
Well, this one's just begging for an illustration. Anything you could share without having to sleep on the couch? Well, the couch isn't so bad. It's soft.
Well, it's lumpy now. I mean,
after all those years of sleeping on it?
Maybe that's the resolution. I'll get a new couch.
A new couch. There you go.
Oh, man. Well, I think a lot of times, you know, what's pointed out to me is not being honest with why I'm saying something or what I'm doing.
So what you would say would be actually true, but there might be some agenda around it that you're...
Yeah, usually it may be true in and of itself, but it's oftentimes to, and not always on purpose, but to cover something else up that's equally as true or even more true. It's just that the thing I'm bringing out, which might be for the betterment of those I'm around, maybe one of those, hey, can I tell you something in love? it might be something like that. And really, the problem, you know, rests with me. And so, you know, there's that conviction to this year be a little more sensitive to others and what they're saying, and not what I feel the need to say. You know, it was really cute. I got this email the other day, and there were several points in it, and there were resolutions and blah blah blah. But there was a PowerPoint presentation, and this one had a few dogs. It was all about pets and how cute they are and blah blah blah, the benefit of them. But one particular slide caught my attention, and I can't remember now who the quote was by, but it said, the reason a dog has so many friends is because it wags its tail more and wags its tongue less.
Yeah, and Dale Carnegie's take on the dog was, when he comes toward you to lick you, you know, he doesn't want to sell you anything. He found the dog the most genuine, pure piece. Of course, the purpose of that book was to teach you how to sell things. So,
well, so you need to start by licking people, it sounds like. I mean,
that book was called How to Win Friends and Influence People. The first ministry that I was an assistant to, my director bought me that book. I think it was his not-so-subtle way of telling me that I needed to watch my rhetoric a little bit and not jump to as many verbal conclusions.
Well, we all know how that went.
Yeah. turned out real good.
Yeah. I picture that book being maybe thrown out sometime, but...
Yeah, that was money well spent, wasn't it?
Well, it's good to consider that. It's definitely good to consider that, but, you know, when you make it kind of a practice, then it almost feels disingenuous and that you have an agenda to push, and I think that's the thing about a Christian, or at least anyone who wants to kind of be more honest with themselves, and that is to examine their own agenda and to maybe not have as much of an agenda, sort of understand before you seek to be understood kind of thing. And again, that's not easy. That's not easy.
It's not. And unsolicited advice it's not talked about amongst Christians. Christians, it's one of those little sacred cows. We, for one thing, Christians seem to feel that because the Bible has given them a few key answers on life, and you know, the Bible tells us where we came from, where we're going, a little bit about how to live in the meantime. That's not bad. But it doesn't mean we know everything. It doesn't mean we know all the secrets to the universe. So sometimes on an issue that the Bible is silent about, Christians will fill in the blank when even God hadn't filled it in. That's part of it. But the other part of it is, in Timothy, they actually had a word, and that word was busybody. And that's that was the ancient way of saying unsolicited advice. These are people who were not minding their own business. But we shroud it with spirituality by saying things like, can I talk to you in love? Or my other favorite, the Lord led me to say this to you. So now I have to listen to it no matter what. And I do believe that God leads people, and I do believe God speaks, but perhaps not nearly as much as the times people are putting words in his mouth.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's important to, I think it's important to realize when you're talking to someone to earn that right to speak to them, you shouldn't necessarily have to go up and say, hey, can I tell you something in love? If you have to ask, then chances are you might not know them well enough to say it to begin with.
Yeah, and I think we can reach a point in friendships. And it's interesting because the people who are not always offering me advice, I'm actually very eager to hear advice from them. And so I will ask.
Well, that's absolutely true. I mean, it's that squeaky wheel or that person that's always out there you sort of want to push away from and... you know, and hear from somebody who might be the waters run a little deeper, maybe, if you will. But
and it can be a disingenuous way of people getting attention. It's like the person who always has a prayer request at a prayer meeting. And of course, that's the purpose of a prayer meeting. We should have prayer requests. But sometimes it's always that first person to lift up their hand. There is something else going on. I don't think most people are even aware of their own personal agendas that may be happening at that point.
And there you go. That's my goal this year, because I know that a lot of times I'm not aware of my agenda. I'm not reflecting on that. I'm just, I'm about me without even knowing I'm about me. And the only way, I think, to combat that is to truly be about others, and that's not to be about others in a way that you're talking about, where you're constantly sharing stuff with them that they need to do or they need to be, or but looking for quiet ways that you can encourage or uplift or do things for that maybe they don't even know about. I'm kind of encouraged. You know, there's a lot of lists out there online and emails and otherwise of New Year's resolutions. And on a couple of them, not all of them, and on one of them it was the very last one, so at least it made the top 10. I was glad for that. And that is to volunteer to help others or to spend more time, you know, with others, encouraging others, things like that. It made some of the lists out there, and that seems like a worthwhile goal. It just seems that too often we get caught up in the cerebral and in the dialogue and making sure, this is where I have a problem with myself, is making sure that I've said everything that's on my mind to enlighten those around me, which is usually, unfortunately, my wife. And, you know, that doesn't build relationships.
Well, it is an important topic, the idea of examining ourselves, because Jesus talked more about motives than anything. His Sermon on the Mount, which was his first recorded sermon, took the Ten Commandments and internalized them and said, maybe you've never killed anybody, but maybe you've been angry without cause. Maybe you've never committed adultery, but maybe you were planning to, and circumstances were such that you didn't end up doing it, but you wanted to do it. I think people view Christians as those who are holier than thou, judgmental, who think they have their act together, not as people who are constantly going back to God and reflecting. Well, Greg, stay with me over the break. We'll do some more reflecting. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539, W&S Electric. Welcome back to our program. This is Bob Siegel, and I'm joined with Greg Jarvis. Did you and your family go away for Christmas, or did you hang around the house? What did you end up doing?
Well, actually, we did. We hung around the house, and we had the kids in town, my son in from school out in Manhattan, Kansas, and my daughter in from Denver. So that was very nice, and we went over to my in-laws' house and had other in-laws come over, and contrary to popular belief, what other people may experience. That was actually very nice too. So it was a delightful Christmas. And what made it so were the relationships coming in from out of town. And then that night, Tom, my friend Tom Hurley, as you know him.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, he came in town from North Carolina, so he stayed for a few days. So it was good. It was good.
I can't even remember the last time I saw Tom. Well, the last time I saw him, his name was Garrett, so it was a real long time ago.
Yeah, and that's a whole long story.
These guys that changed their names, I've never quite gotten that.
Although it's
biblical, it happened in the Bible. You will no longer be Jacob, you will be Israel. You
know? That's true. Maybe there was some transformation, although, for your audience, his name always was Tom, and it always was Garrett. He just switched.
Oh, Garrett, was Garrett his middle name? Or
yeah.
So he just decided, he switched which one.
It actually started there at school when he had, I think there were like four other Toms on his floor. So they were getting kind of confused, and he didn't want to just get lost in the confusion. So he said, hey, my name's Garrett.
Well, we knew a fellow. Do you remember the guy at UC Santa Barbara? His name was Roy, and then he changed his name to Jonathan. Do you remember that guy?
I do, but I don't remember the details on that.
That's about as much of the details as I remember. It just seemed very, very bizarre. Well, okay, Garrett wasn't quite as bizarre because he had both names anyway. This time it was an actual name.
Well, it was nice seeing him, and we'll have to see if we can get him to come out to California sometime.
Yeah.
Come down and visit you, whether it's Tom, Garrett, whatever he wants to go by. Moonbeam, I don't know.
Yeah, he was a fun guy and a sharp guy.
Yeah, oh my gosh, yeah. And it's just... He's still exactly the same, terrific guy, and as soon as he gets into your home or wherever you're at, he gravitates right towards something to pick up and read. So we spend the first 15 minutes or so of me talking while he's reading, and then he'll come back and forth with things, but he doesn't put that magazine, newspaper, whatever it is down. He's just a voracious reader. But it was nice. It was nice to see him, but I got to be honest with you now, having had an empty nest for several months, and I know you know what that's like. It's wonderful to have these relationships come back in, and then there's a certain amount of peace when they go back to where they came from. And so, you know, we're getting things back in order there at the first of the year, and you know, it's nice. It's bittersweet. Bittersweet. You hate to see them go, but
it is because you like having the run of the mill of the house to yourself. But you miss your kids too, of course.
Well, hey, you mentioned before the commercial break, you did mention about the Sermon on the Mount and motivations and how Jesus narrowed in on those motivations. And I think it's interesting how a lot of us set these New Year's resolution goals, and they're behavioral. And a lot of times, a lot of them, in some cases most of them, some people are more able to be successful with those, but they're behavioral, and a lot of times we fail, and we expect that we're going to fail, and you talk to people, and they feel badly about it.
I think I've heard more stories of New Year's resolutions failing than succeeding.
Exactly, and yet we do it every year.
That's why I just don't make them. I don't do this little song and dance about getting through the day like you. I just don't make the stupid resolution in the first place.
What? Bob, you know how hard I worked on that? I'm going to have a great year because at the end of the year, 365 of my resolutions will have come true.
When I tell you how impressed I am, Greg, I really want you to believe me.
Oh, that might be one of my resolutions. I'll have to work on that one. But you're right. I mean, a lot of people have given up. It's like, you know, why do it? Now, yours might be for a healthier reason, for the realization that we live each day, and to set a resolution, you know, for this year that in all likelihood I will fall short at least one point of the year. It's almost like a recipe for failure. And so some people, they don't. They don't do that. Other people, they wake up in the new year and decide, you know, with a gleam in their eye and a spark of hope, I'm going to be better this year. But again, it usually revolves around the behavior and not the motivations.
Yes, and like we were saying before the break, Jesus spent so much time talking about our motivations. I think that's really where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah, well, that's because that tends to be where the behavior actually comes from. So even though you don't make resolutions, what kind of resolutions might you make if you were really...
If I made them? Well, part of my reason for not making them in January is that January usually doesn't seem like the beginning of the year. With all my years out on the college campus, I was still on that school fiscal year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, fall. And then fall was always when the brand new TV shows were on. So I tend to think of fall as the beginning of the year. Having said that, I made no resolutions this fall either, so that doesn't entirely get me anywhere.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, though, Bob.
Yeah, that was really worth the kicking around, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What kinds of resolutions do I make when I make them?
Well, that or what kind would you expect would help someone who wants to make motivational resolutions? I don't mean the kind of motivational resolutions like Successories puts out there, the you know, we can achieve as a team. You know, teamwork is this. I don't mean nice little things. I mean, for someone who really wants to look at what Jesus was looking at, that motivation, that internal heart workings, if we want to come up with ideas that will help us in the area of motivation.
Part of it for me is you know, we talked last time you were on about our relationship with God and seeking his will and listening. I think that's a place where we really have to examine the heart and motives, because as I'm asking God about something, I already know the answer I'm hoping he'll give. And it's always so easy to imagine what we wanted God to say instead of really being honest. I mean, obviously there are exceptions, like if God spoke with an audible, clear voice, but a lot of times, since the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, it's just a difference in terms of our thoughts changing while we're praying. And I can definitely say that there have been times when I heard from God and maybe even heard things I didn't want to hear and knew it was from him. But there are other times when, you know, I think we have this incredible ability as human beings to rationalize. So I need to work hard to make sure I'm not doing that. So that's one place where I would start. I think in human dynamics, that would be another thing. If I'm not having a great day, I become more and more convinced of this. And I know Dennis Prager makes an issue out of this a lot on his program, The Happiness Hour, that we have an obligation to be in a good mood even when things are bothering us. And when something's on my mind and it tends to short circuit my conversation or quiet me, I'd like to figure out ways to get out of that sooner.
Okay. And I think that's, I do. I think that's a really good first step, first place to look at those motivations, because that is where that behavior flows out of. And it would be one thing to have a bad day and just plaster a smile on your face, which sometimes is hard for you.
All right, more examination of the heart and motives when we return to the Bob Siegel Show.
If you enjoy listening to The Bob Siegel Show, check out Bob's daily blog on townhall.com. Bob is also a regular contributor for San Diego Rostra and San Diego Newsroom. And don't forget his website, www.bobsiegel.net. Here, you download past radio shows, read Bob's many articles about Christianity, and get information about Bob's books. That's www.bobsiegel.net. BobSiegel.net.
This is Bob Siegel on the air with Greg Jarvis. Welcome back to our program, Greg.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me. And Thanks for starting off the year with me. I'm not sure if you did that because it's a positive thing or you think every show after this is only going to get better.
No, having you on the show is always a positive thing.
Oh, good one. Good call. Hey, so, you know, it's funny. That's one of my resolutions here, tongue-in-cheek resolutions or just kind of not serious resolutions. I sat in church wondering today. You know, church, I find oftentimes, is a very, very, very good place to hide from God and from myself.
Okay, now that's interesting. How does a person hide from God in church?
Well, you know, again, what we were talking about.
God doesn't see behind those pews too well, does he?
Well, you know, you got to duck just at the right angle.
It's like Superman. They're made with lead, so his X-ray vision doesn't.
That's right. That's right. Built with hands of sin. I think that's what does it. I think that's, you know, you got to be careful where you buy those pews. No, it's easy to hide, at least for myself. I don't know if your audience agrees with this or not, but when I'm in church, I immediately look at the behavior again rather than motivation. I look at the behavior of I'm in church. So me being there is almost like getting a star or a check off the list or, hey, I must be doing okay. I'm here in church, and that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's easy.
So you're saying you could console yourself that you're doing that rather than paying attention to something
exactly underneath
that God may be wanting to work on.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, what a great place for him to meet with you there, but also an easy place to hide, whether it's by the fact that you're there or by the fact that you're really going to diligently take notes and study this, and I put study in quotes, study this message, because there's things to learn. And sometimes we're learning not to transform our lives, but we're learning to have ammunition, if you will, or just words and thoughts to go share with other people. But it's the motivation. We're not always motivated the right way, and it doesn't always transform us by being there. It becomes more of something that we check off of a list. And so that's one area where I really want to work on that, the difference between behavior and motivation.
Well, also, do you find that Christians, in the way they interact with other Christians at church, can be doing it in a phony way too? Because I'm sure this is not what any pastor intends. But when we get to church, we start behaving like a Christian, acting like a Christian. We don't feel as much freedom to just be ourselves. A lot of times we wouldn't feel free to confess some new sin for the life of us. And yet that kind of blatant bone honesty with our sin, being able to look at ourselves truly in the mirror, is what brought us to Christianity in the first place. But it almost seems that immediately we catch the signal that says, don't behave in the honest way that brought you to the feet of Christ in the first place.
Well, that's exactly right. That's funny. We didn't talk before the show, but that's on the list here. I've got use the words great and fine less often in church.
Or the word praise.
Or the word praise.
Half of our worship songs would be removed if the word praise were taken.
Yeah, absolutely true. And here's another one. Don't smile all the time.
Oh, I like that one. You know me. I have that natural frown. So if I'm not going out of my way to smile, people always think I'm upset even when I'm having a great day. So this idea of you're a Christian, you should smile. Oh,
right.
Drives me nuts. You're pouring out my heart here.
Well, and you know what you just brought up, and that is why I think we fall into that, is those quote-unquote Christian expectations. And again, they're behavioral. As long as we maintain our behavior, as long as we have this Christian behavior that other people can see, our motivation could be for naught, just nothing. But as long as the behavior's there, and again, that's how we hide from God, or that's how we hide from ourselves, because truly we never hide from God, but that's how we hide from ourselves in that relationship with God, is by focusing on behavior. Not that we should not acknowledge behavior, but to focus on it solely and not the motivation under it, I think that's a problem.
Yeah, it is. I remember the first time this thing with the smile came up. I was at a small college gathering when I was in college. We had a guest that night with the guitar. And right in the middle of the praise song, he stopped and pointed to me and said, "You're not smiling." And he said it with a great, and as if him stopping and doing that was going to make me think about smiling. I was thinking of picking up the guitar and hitting him on the head with it.
That would have made a lot of other people smile.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's but that's what we go on our lives most of the time, even though God tells us that most of what we don't see is reality, and that Jesus tells us it's in your heart that the problem exists. So it's frustrating because I fall into that, and I have to work each Sunday to really listen to the words of the songs.
Well, and we get on such tangents at church. This, are you lifting up your hands in praise? I mean, you look at where our culture is headed, and the actual legal rights of Christians being systematically removed. You look at the spirituality behind it, that there's people that are actually going to hell, and the things we tend to focus on. I was at a church service one time, and a lot of the women were away on a women's retreat, and the worship leader was going, and men, could you just imagine if your wives came home from the retreat and they saw you lifting up your hands in praise? I mean, they were talking like if they lifted up their hands, they were going to get converted to Christianity for the first time. And I'm just going, where do we find these peripheral little anthill issues to get all tweaked up about when there are so many important things that we ignore? I think that's close to what Jesus would have called straining out the gnat and swallowing a camel.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a lot easier to do that because it's much more comfortable to work on holding up your hands and becoming comfortable with that instead of becoming comfortable with conviction, inner conviction that actually changes.
Yeah, it's not like this brand new lifetime obedience. Maybe if somebody was a little shy and they started lifting up their hands because they were getting into God, okay, that's fine, that's wonderful, that's fantastic, but boy, they act like it's one of the most important things on the planet at times,
yeah.
And to the detriment of far more important issues.
Well, and it'll show ultimately, and that's the problem, is ultimately it affects our life and it affects those around us. And the insidious part of it in my book is that, and I don't have a book, that was just...
That was a figure of speech, wasn't it, Greg?
Yeah, it was a figure of speech, Bob. I've never really written anything good in my life. Okay.
Actually, you've sent me several things by email that were quite good. Don't be so down on yourself.
Well, then how come you're not putting them in a bound edition and let's work on this?
Because I'm not a publisher.
Oh, okay.
And if I knew a publisher, much as I love your stuff, I might show them something that I wrote first.
Okay. Well,
in the spirit
good.
Of New Year's honesty and examining our motives before we speak.
We're off to a good start then. I'm not sending you any more emails. No. But those things are real vital, I think, to our relationships around us. And they do end up hurting those around us as well as ourselves. And again, the insidious part of it is that we don't realize what we miss out on when we miss out on it.
No, because we're creatures of habit. So even if we get in the habit of doing small things, it does become a habit. Okay, back for one more segment of the Bob Siegel Show with Greg Jarvis. We'll see you. To build your own website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com. This is Bob Siegel with Greg Jarvis. So, Greg, you were talking about how people can actually hide from God in church. Interesting idea.
Well, and it's one that we've practiced for ages, I think. As long as we can do the song and dance, then we don't have to pay attention to what's underneath, at least for myself. Now, in this new year, and that's what I had mentioned earlier, what can I do? That's what I was thinking. What can I do to be a little more honest, to live a little more honestly, to be affected not in the behavioral changes of, oh my gosh, you name it, quit smoking, quit drinking, exercise more, lose weight, you know, just all the basic ones. What can I do that's really going to impact? And you had brought up, and we were talking about motivation underneath the surface, what's going on. That's what's important to Jesus. That affects our behavior. And so I'm looking this year to figure out how to impact my motivation. Now, I know to a large degree I'm impacted in that area from God. I mean, he changes. He's literally changed my motivation in years over a variety of things. The most notable is when I became a Christian to begin with. I didn't like Christians. Okay, that one didn't really change a lot. But I didn't like Christians. You know, thought they were dull, pinheaded, boring, judgmental, and all that, and now I am. And there, you know, didn't want to read the Bible, didn't want to know that stuff. It just, I knew I'd be responsible for it if I knew it. And there were all these attitudes and motivations that just changed overnight. And I didn't go off on some weekend, and I didn't not eat and not pee for, you know, 3 days, and nothing. It just radically changed in the twinkling of an eye. And that's what I'm looking for in the new year, the kinds of things that I can do behaviorally, if you will, to impact my motivation so that I can actually live more internally honest. Because even if there's crud inside, even with the crud inside, I want to live that honestly too. I used to tell my kids, whatever you're thinking and feeling and believing, go ahead and let it come out. I mean, again, within reason. But let that come out at least to yourself, because that's kind of a barometer of where we're at with God. If there's words coming out of my mouth that aren't edifying other people, they're not encouraging, they're not godly, and oftentimes they're not for me. If there's behavior that has nothing to do with the betterment of other people, whether it be myself or my neighbor or whomever, if I'm not exhibiting Christian behaviors, not the pinheaded ones, that tells me something. But if I'm hiding behind a wall of learned behaviors, patterns of behaviors that I've learned and that I got good at, I'm never going to touch down deep. I'm never going to get to my motivations. And so to live more honestly, to live more openly before myself first and others would be my goal. So I've got a few things, and I know you've got some things that you've seen people do and that you know that's good to do to impact our motivations, to help us encounter God internally, but then it makes an external difference and not the other way around. So I've got a couple, and maybe you could comment on them. Tell me what you think about them.
Okay.
If it's going to be a successful year, or I should just...
Well, before you list them, I was going to ask you, when you make a resolution, then what steps do you take, aside from obviously praying and promising God, what steps do you take to kind of make yourself accountable and assure that it might actually happen?
Well, that's funny, because that's the last thing that I've written here with a big star by it, accountability. Because I don't trust myself.
So we do need to have other people in our lives that are going to ask us how we're doing.
Absolutely. And you know what's funny about that? I don't like that.
It's uncomfortable. No, I don't think any of us like accountability on the surface, but we all know we need it. I have a couple of guys that I get together with on Wednesday nights and have been for years, and we share, we pray, and we do hold each other accountable.
Yeah. Because that's really the only way to help keep ourselves on track and to kind of get a different perspective and a more honest perspective, because we are blindsided to, you know, certain parts of us that other people can see. But it's uncomfortable. It's like scraping a sore or a wound. And, you know, it can be still done with the best intention. You remember in college Ray Whitbeck?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I saw Ray not too long ago.
Oh.
Went up and spoke at his church.
Well, actually,
it was a whole year ago, so...
Well, that
doesn't seem that long ago, but...
Well, in your book, with all the things you do, that is very recent. So
it seems recent.
But he would come up oftentimes, more than once, whether it was on campus if we saw each other or in our weekly Bible study, and he would just sit there, very serious look on his face, very friendly, loving, caring look, and say, "So what's God doing in your life?" So where are you at?
And when Ray says that, it's not a cliche.
That would be
a cliche from some people. From him, that's very genuine.
It was very genuine. It was very uncomfortable because it held me accountable. So, I put that last because that's what I want to remember the most. Without that, I really don't see how success can come to the degree I would like it to, because there's no one to catch me, no one to come alongside me, no one to encourage me, no one to call me on things, no one to help direct me back on course when
I'm
off. So I think that would be the first and foremost. But what are they going to help me be accountable with?
Yes. So what are the, you were about to list some of these things you're going to try to do.
Well, one thing you had mentioned already, the show, is to seek God and to listen to God. And so that sounds nice, to seek God and to listen to God. I'm sure there are practical ways to do that. And I think one that would be worthy of mentioning would be to study his word, since he's already revealed tons of stuff that I can't get through in a lifetime about him and about me and about the world that I can study. Now, I don't mean read, because there's several people this year, and you know that there are people out there that say, I will read through the Bible this year. And it's like, why? Why are you going to read through the Bible this year?
Yeah, sometimes they'd be better served to just stay with a certain section and really meditate it on it and milk it.
Study. Study. Show themselves approved by studying that particular scripture, letting it sink in, as opposed to a checklist of having read through it. Because and there's people that can get a lot from their reading. I have to personally have to study, and I have to sit with that. So that would be one. That's one that's high on my list, is studying versus reading. The next one is to spend quiet moments. Now, some people would tack on with God, but since he's always around, he will be there. But just to shut down and to be quiet. You know, in Psalms it talks about, God mentions to be still and know that.
And we don't do that easily. Even when I'm by myself, a lot of times I'll have the TV on or music on.
Yeah.
I don't. And yet when it is just absolutely silent, it is easier for God to speak.
Yep. And easier for us to hear clearly. And if speaking is not going on, to simply reflect on what we've been studying. I think those two go hand in hand. And quiet, well, was I known for being quiet in college? No, I guess
I not. Wouldn't have known you for that, but hey, that's just me.
No, I haven't met a person yet who did know me for that. So
no, you're never going to be confused for Harpo Marx.
No, and now I'm getting far less hair. I can't even impersonate him or anything. So, but those would be hand in hand, and I think those two, they stand out above and beyond anything and tend to affect other things. Like other ones on my list are rationalize things less in my life. In other words, just look at things as they really are and don't rationalize. Well, I can do more of that if I spend time in study and in quiet moments and I'm accountable to others. Seeking God, listening to God. That positive countenance you just talked about being happy, and I don't mean, and you don't mean just...
Not ruining other people's good times just because there's something on your mind.
Right. Well, we would have them in focus, not ourselves. And I think one way to have more of a positive countenance is to be more focused on them and to reflect more in our heart about what we're studying and spending quiet moments about. Because those are the things that don't change. What he's shared with us in Scripture does not change, and that's something that we can grab hold of any time. And that's the extent of, that's not the extent of my list. There is one more thing, and that is to exercise faith. And that's what we called and talked about a few weeks ago, is how to do that and how important that is. And I'm still going to be studying and learning about people in Scripture who have exercised faith and exactly what that means and how to do that. Because that's taking what you've studied, taking those quiet moments, having sought out God, listened to God, and stepping out. Let me give you, just the other day I came across a terrific illustration, and that is faith. When you have faith in something, you put your full weight in it. Or on it.
Yeah, it means in the biblical days it meant believing something to the point where you're trusting your life with it. It wasn't a blind following of something.
So it would
it's
be
more
like,
associated with obedience, possibly breaking out of our comfort zone to obey something God's calling us to do.
So it'd be like sitting on a chair and lifting up your feet, having all your weight on that chair. And if I can learn to do that in my relationship with God, I think it's going to be a better year.
Okay, my friend. Well, I do wish you a good new year, and we'll have you on a lot this year, but we'll certainly have you on again next year to see how you did with your resolutions.
Okay, I'll look forward to it, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Okay, say hi to the fam for me. Okay. This is Bob Siegel. We will see you next week.
Bob Siegel Show on KCBQ is sponsored by Bob Siegel.